Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The internet can be your window to the world or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.
TheGameHeroes.com. Making sure the games that you buy don't fucking suck.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to The Prototype, and I am your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, from, of course, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. But I'm not alone in this edition of the April edition, and you might get two prototypes this month, depending on how things go. But I'm not alone as we trek down memory lane. I am joined with...
Alex. Yo.
That's right. And Alex, we're not alone in this. We're actually bringing back a little piece of internet history with us. If you've been a fan of This Week in Geek for many years, you understood the prototype used to be originally on thegameheroes.com, which is the place where I did my original internship for Niagara College.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, once upon a time.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
That's where I decided to do my internship. Either that was a good thing or a bad thing. Hey, I got a couple free trips to Texas out of it.
I had a good time. Always working an angle, buddy.
Oh, God, of course. And that means I got a chance to work with some really cool people. And one of those names you might remember is a name that still lives on in internet history, and that is Handsome Tom Hanley. And he's a guy I've been friends with for well over 10 years now.
I hear he's full of useless knowledge.
He is full of useless knowledge, and usually full of shit in some capacity. but he's one of those guys I've been friends with for over 10 years. I've met his wife, Perfect Liz. I haven't met his kids yet, though. And I bet some of you didn't even know that Tom had kids right now. And I guess without any further ado, I can't delay this any further. Handsome Tom, my good friend, welcome back to the show that you and I started so many years ago.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Yeah, it's been a little while. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, it really has been. I mean, I know you and I have talked about getting you back on the prototype just to kind of catch up on life, but something had always get in the way. I know you are this pizza running, basically, godfather down in Denton, Texas right now. You own a couple of different stores.
Yeah, that's true. I've got four total, actually, which is a bit much. Cameraman Joe was working with me. He's no longer doing that. So it's just myself running four stores. So that definitely keeps me busy.
Yeah, so it's been a long time, I mean, since we've like heard from you. I mean, the last official thing that we saw that I remember anyway was the official Game Heroes retirement video, which I think came out all the way back in 2014. And there was rumblings that you were thinking about bringing back the podcast in some capacity with whoever the remaining Game Heroes were, it'd be that Jason, Mickey, or whoever was lying around. So I guess for those of you that, or for those of our listeners that aren't necessarily super familiar with you, Tom, how did you and I meet way back in the day?
Well, Craig and I started Screw Attack a long time ago, and then you became a fan of that, and you got that sweet tattoo of the Screw Attack logo. And you know, we called you the G1 of the year, and then we ended up just doing different events with you here and there, and that's kind of where that started.
Yeah, I mean, you and I first met at the Iron Man of Gaming all the way back in 2008, and we just kind of stayed in touch because as busy as everybody was with Screw Attack, you and I just kind of clicked. I remember us going out to lunch at CC's Pizza and just kind of hanging out, and we just like, hey, Mike, do you want to do something stupid? Why, yes. Yes, I do. And you just told me about this wacky pizza place and how it was all you could eat. So obviously, being the fat fuck that I am.
Good God.
Oh, my God, Alex. You have no idea. CC's Pizza is the most amazing thing America's ever given to the world.
Yeah, well, we used to have some competitions that we showed on Screw Attack there. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
Yeah, to settle certain things, we'd always come up with these weird competitions, you know, non-gaming or gaming-related. And I think it was the last competition we did there was Craig and I versus the interns. And then I think they tried to cheat, but we still won.
I remember the famous eating competitions. I remember one thing you, me, and Mickey did. 8-Bit Mickey, for those of you that don't remember, was an intern at Screw Attack for quite some time. Then he jumped over when Tom started his own site, The Game Heroes, back in 2008 is when you started The Game Heroes. Actually, what was the origin of the kind of Game Heroes, actually, Tom, for those of the listeners that aren't necessarily super up on the history of us, so to speak?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean. I don't remember. You remember Limited Edition Jason? We were just trying to come up with a name, and that's what he came up with. But, you know, I left Screw Attack, and that was kind of a bitter leaving at that point since we both started something. And then I just wanted to continue on the same kind of energy and fun that we had while doing so. Meanwhile, getting married, opening restaurants, and having children during that time. So it was, I like to stay busy, I guess, is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back when I started my like internship with you would have been the spring of 2008, or would it be? Yeah, it was probably about 2008. Yeah, when I came down to Texas, I was the photographer for your wedding. I was the candid behind the scenes photographer, and just all the weirdness that started up, and we started doing the podcast, which we kept going for a number of years.
Yeah, every week. 5 years, I think. We do every Sunday for about 4 or 5 years. Every once in a while, I'd have to have Limited Edition Jason fill in, but we had a good time. And, you know, it's funny, you bring up the wedding. I don't know if you knew this, but the Nostalgia Chick actually edited the wedding video for us.
I did not know that, actually. Yeah.
Well, I still keep in touch with her, and, you know, I didn't want to edit my own wedding video, so she offered to do it, so she edited our video, so that's kind of interesting, weird fact, useless knowledge, I guess.
There you go. So, Alex, I don't know, do you have any questions for Handsome Tom? I mean, you literally have him on a hot mic.
I was going to say, where we are now, like, how the interesting story is how I got in touch with Dodd originally was watching, I think I randomly saw the video of Mike getting his tattoo. Somewhere on the net linked me to it. And that's how I discovered Screw Attack and This Week in Geek. That is about 10 years ago now, isn't it?
Yeah, 2007 is when I got the tattoo.
So it's kind of interesting how much that whole tattoo spread. Because it's like, oh, there's some crazy fan. He's going to get a tattoo of a web show. What's this?
Half and half, though. I mean, half. It's really Screw Attack from the game, so technically it's not...
But still, that's what it was involved with, right? Like, it was the G1 of the year stuff, and that was still so new with just web series in general. That was a new concept.
Yeah, because that was sort of the birth of internet video when you started having James, the Angry Video Game Nerd, Screw Attack was still hosting his videos at that time.
So,
and there was still fresh video content. There was Handsome Tom's Useless Knowledge, which was one of your great video series.
Yes, absolutely. My question would be, how did you, like, we know about the Game Heroes and that, how did you get into Screw Attack itself? What was the genesis of it?
Well, we were just trying to do something. I mean, we were fresh kind of out of college, and, you know, Craig Stuttering Craig is what he calls himself. I don't even know he still does that anymore, but he was trying to get a job being like an announcer for sports teams or ESPN and that kind of stuff. And then at that time I was working at a video game store, and we'd go to arcades and play games all the time. We used to win competitions. I won a jet ski one time. Stuff. Yeah. Well, I sold it and paid for a semester of college, so that was totally worth it. But he wanted to do an audio podcast, because it sounds crazy, but podcasting was new at the time. So we started out just doing some audio, and then what's crazy is we took a trip to Mexico, and we brought a video camera. So we ended up just filming. We had a glass blower make a glass Mario. We, went to video game stores to see if they sucked or not. There's video that I think Craig intentionally lost. He probably still has it, but we dressed up like luchadors in Speedos.
And oh, we need to find that.
Walking down the coastline down there in Puerto Vallarta, they have all the bars and restaurants. So we would just, they just kept giving us free drinks all the way down, because we were, just going, doing stupid stuff. So anyway, we got back and we're like, we think video is probably a better way to go for podcasting. And what's crazy is there was no way to capture footage at that time. So we had to go to like AV clubs and colleges and try to find their conversion boxes. And
especially if you were using tape, right? Yeah.
No, we didn't use tape.
No?
Mini DV, right?
Well, we used mini DV for video, but for the we would directly import it into our laptops, the video, when we were playing.
Okay.
And that was a huge pain in the ass. It took us several tries to get it right, because the frame rates would never work out properly. So anyway, they didn't have cool game capture options at that time. So it just kind of developed from there. We wanted to have fun. We wanted to play video games, and we honestly just got lucky that we got a call after. We just kept calling people saying, "Hey, we're doing this. We're doing this. We're doing this." And finally, Game Trailers gave us a call, and I flew out there and pitched it to them. Went to the Playboy Mansion with all the MTV and Game Trailer guys, and ended up having beers with the guy who started it. I didn't know that at the time, and he's like, "I'm going to call you tomorrow." And then he picked up our stuff.
Wow,
that's cool,
man. So it's interesting, Tom, just to think that you and Craig and everybody else at Screw Attack, who's now with Rooster Teeth and have spread their wings to Game Attack as well, was there at the birth of internet podcasting in a video form. Because I remember when you guys used to do side scrollers every Tuesday, I think it was
Wednesday.
Yeah. You guys used to just do the audio podcast, but you'd also have that. Then I can't remember whether you were around when Hard News launched or not. Were you?
Actually, that was my idea. That was one of the last videos that I posted on, the Game Hairs website before we retired. I don't know if you saw that, but the original pilot for that I posted before we left, and it was the whole concept was actually supposed to be more funny, less news. So it was more like what do they have on Saturday Night Live?
Oh, Weekend Update sort of thing.
It was supposed to be like that. So you can find that video, I think, still on the Game Heroes YouTube page. But it's the original pilot for that was done several months before I left. It was just never aired until a few years ago when I posted it on our website.
It's kind of amazing just to think how, like I said, how much you've actually been there during the genesis of all this. And since you and I, Tom, were the Game Heroes ourselves, we were involved with that guy with the glasses. We went out to the anniversary brawl. You've been involved in many of the anniversary movies.
That is true. That guy with the glasses was really cool for a little bit. And, they tried to grow. And then, that's when kind of we retired at that point. So I still talk to some people, Angry Joe, I talked to every once in a while. I actually went to France with Benzai a year or two ago. So we went to Paris, and he and Benzai ended up bringing the number two porn star to hang out with us all night, which was very entertaining.
I bet.
Yeah, but, you know, Benzai's a character. You know, he doesn't do any stuff in English anymore, but I guess he's really big over there, which is wonderful. So I still, you know, see and hear people from time to time.
Which is always nice to hear, just the fact that we do get to hang out with people like Joe, Benzai. I mean, you and I have made various internet friends over the years, people like Spoony, like I said, you've just mentioned Angry Joe, stuff like that. And it's interesting to see how people's careers have changed over the years. And speaking of career changes, as we've mentioned several times in this podcast, the Game Heroes retired back in 2014, 2015, if memory serves correctly. What was your reasoning behind deciding to hang it up, at least temporarily anyway?
Well, you know, I had another child come in. I've got three total now. We're done having children, by the way, but I've got three total. And had another child, opened another restaurant. It was just time, you know. You know, I don't know if people are out there who are writers, but you kind of get tired of your own writing, even though people want to kind of hear the same thing over and over and over again, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. I was about to say, yeah, I mean, eventually careers change, people change. I remember I was so sad when you told me you were going to hang it up there. And I didn't want to stop doing the prototype, and I kept doing it for a couple years afterwards with different co-hosts, be it Jamie, JJ, Johnston. Now we've revived it again with Alex, Lee, and Tristan sort of bringing back this. And now that we've relaunched Twig, now going on 11 years, bringing the Game Heroes back and bringing you back, Tom, is a really big milestone for us, because like I said, you were there at the beginning, you were there near the beginning of Twig, you were one of my first interviews. I remember interviewing you and Craig for This Week in Geek.
Benzai, all he wanted to do, he noticed our stuff and he contacted me years ago, you know, during the prime of Screwtag days, and he's like, hey, I just want to translate your stuff into French, is that okay? So that's how Benzai got into all of this, was translating our videos to French in Paris, and we ended up just having a great time talking with each other.
Yeah, like, he's one of the funniest people I've met, and I remember hanging out with him at that guy with the glasses' first anniversary brawl, and I remember him sitting on either your lap or my lap, and people just said, don't worry about Benzai, he's French. It was as if that was to excuse his really weird behavior. But well, he was a character, to say the very least.
You know, he shows up with a porn star, and, you know, porn star ends up hanging out at an apartment and just staying over. And, you know, you better believe I asked the hard and fun questions.
Yeah, but say, Tom, you've never been one to back away from controversy or what the fuck moments. I remember trying to talk you out of several things, and it's never gone well for me. Although, in light of your luchador story, I wish you'd told me that in Texas, because I would have done something similarly stupid. However, for those of you that don't know, Tom has talked me into doing several stupid things. One of the things Tom talked me into, he took me out to a bar one time. We were in Texas. I was there for his wedding. And at this bar, it was around Valentine's Day or something. I think I was down there just for a random visit. And you took me to a bar, and they were offering goldfish shots.
Oh, you had to drink. No shots. I totally forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, Mike, drink this. And you're like, and I'm like, why? There's a live minnow in it. I'll pay for it. Okay. So Tom had me eat a live fish.
Sure.
That was so much fun.
We like to do things that you're going to remember that you did. You know, something that creates a story is kind of what I live for. You know, side note, I'm still doing video games. I've joined a club, which I think is pretty cool. It's a retro video game of the month. So it's kind of like a book club. So they vote on a game, pick it, we all play it, and then just kind of talk about it.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it kind of brings out some games that you forget about or you know, I have a lot of games, so it's hard to pick one and not just keep, you know, it's the ADD. You pick one, you want to try another one, then another one. So it's kind of nice to say, hey, you know, this month we're going to play Mega Man 4. Everybody beat the game and then talk about it. So they do that kind of stuff, which is pretty cool. So I still do play video games and still do collect them. So it's going to just keep growing.
Do you know how many games you have?
I think it's over 1,600 now.
Oh, wow.
Do you have a complete NES collection yet, or are you still plugging away at that?
No, I think my NES collection is kind of maxed out. I mean, there's a couple rare games that I could probably get. You know, I've got all the games that I enjoy, if that makes sense. Is it nice to have a complete collection? Sure. But it's really just to say you have a complete collection because, you know, what is it? 80% of them are crap.
Yeah, that's absolutely very true.
Are your kids old enough now to start enjoying games with you?
Actually, they are. Well, my oldest is 7, and this is prime time for her to get into that. I mean, the problem is kids her age now, it's more of tablet gaming. You know, you never die. You just tap the screen, blah, blah, blah. But she's actually... getting into some Mario. They love Mario Kart, which is great. So we play Mario Kart on the Switch. You know, they like watching me play Zelda. You know, obviously that game is great on the Switch as well. But no, they're starting to get into it. They Perfect Liz plays Castle Crashers with Alara. So they go through that game.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too complicated, so it makes it fun for them.
Now, curious question, Tom, for you, because you and I have had a heated Street Fighter rivalry for years where more often than not, you beat me.
I don't think you've ever won. Ever.
No, but I've kicked your ass at Mortal Kombat more often than not. So, here's my question to you. Are you hopefully going to have your kids pick up the legacy of the Hanley fighting game?
I'm not sure. I think that legacy is starting to die.
It's more
into you know, the mainstream stuff that everybody goes to the arena to watch now, not necessarily fighting games.
Yeah, like the whole esports scene. And who would have thought that'd be a thing 10 years ago? Well, I guess the Koreans with StarCraft and whatnot.
There were inklings of it, but there wasn't anything concrete yet.
No, it's weird. I mean, what's crazy is I think if I was in college, I would probably be on those teams. But that kind of thing didn't exist.
Now, what game would you play competitively now if you could?
Man, that's tough. I mean, when I was playing competitive gaming, we were playing Quake 3 Arena. That was our hardcore game at the time. And then, of course, you go to Halo. Man, competitive game now...
Maybe CS:GO, maybe Fortnite.
No, I haven't really gotten into those. I played Overwatch a little bit. I'm not sure, Mike. That's a tough question.
Yeah, considering how esports is so diverse now with League of Legends, Overwatch, CS:GO, they're even talking about doing competitive Fortnite. There was an H1Z1 scene for a while, and there's big money in that, or COD still.
Well, the problem is I don't take the time to do that kind of gaming anymore, if that makes sense. I do compete for fun. You know, I'll play, you know, Call of Duty or those games you were talking about, but I don't spend the, you know, days at a time to know every inch of the game anymore. And that's just a, you know, having three kids and businesses time constraint thing. That doesn't mean I still don't play. I just don't have that kind of focus for that.
Yeah, because you and I have been friends on Xbox Live for like a decade, and I don't see you on very much anymore. I see Liz pop on from time to time.
Well, actually,
but not so much you.
I accidentally put my profile on hidden, so
that might explain something. Then
that would be So, no, I fixed that. You know, right now I'm playing Injustice 2 because it was on sale. I'm having fun with that. I'm playing Call of Duty. I want to play Far Cry 5, but I've got some work I need to get done. So once I finish that work, that's when I'm going to reward myself with Call of Duty 5. Or, sorry, Far Cry 5. I'm playing three or four games at a time. I'm just not competitive with them like I used to be.
I will say you definitely encourage the competitive streak in me, because back when we used to do the prototype, I'd hear just how good you were at Call of Duty, and I kept thinking, well, I can be that good if I try hard enough and if I start to memorize lanes. I mean, I wasn't to the point where I was memorizing spawns and everything, but I definitely started to get the inkling to, okay, I'm going to beat Tom someday. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but someday.
No,
because you did humble me.
When Perfect Liz and I would play Call of Duty a few years ago, you know, we would go 42 and 2, and both of us together would just destroy the game. I don't remember those, but we would just be like, yep, there's another, you know, 30-0 run or 30-4 run. But we just don't we don't have time to compete like that anymore. We just have fun playing.
Speaking of Perfect Liz, how is she? What is the update on Liz other than being a mom?
Well, that is her full-time job now. I mean, we've got 7, 5, and then 1. So we've got 2 girls and a boy. She's been playing Destiny 2. So I'm supposed to join her and start a new character, but I'm letting her get her feet wet with that right now.
Are you playing that on Xbox One, PC, or PS4?
Xbox One.
Damn it, I've only got it on PS4. Shit.
I still don't have a PS4. I've been...
Wow!
Yeah, I know. I've got everything else. I just don't have a PS4. PS3 was so disappointing to me. I just haven't gotten into it. But I think this year is when I'll break down, and I'll probably get the VR, because that just dropped by $100, and then God of War's next month. I mean, I still know all the games I want to play. I'm just pacing myself. And, you know, it saves money to do what I'm doing.
Well, and by the time you go to get those games, most of the first party titles will be dropped to like half price anyway.
Yeah, well, so I'm thinking, you know, by Black Friday this year, all their first party games will be $20 or less, and I'll buy 15 of them, and then I'll buy the system and the VR thing, and then I'll be set for 6 months.
Absolutely.
Pretty much.
Now, what are some of the games you've played in the last couple of years that have really impressed you, or sort of the things that you're surprised that they were as good as they were?
You know, it's funny, it's easier to tell you what you were disappointed in.
Okay, all right, what games have
you got a little bit of both. I mean, I had a lot of fun with this is the problem, it's been a few years. Fallout 4 was wonderful. Yeah. I wasn't into the building as much. I'm just looking at the wall right now just to remind myself. Man, Mass Effect, that last Mass Effect game killed me.
Yeah,
I wanted it to be good, and it looked pretty, but it was just so boring. I never finished it. I got pretty far, and I was like, I can either do this or I can start something else that's going to be fun.
I wish I could tell you finishing it was rewarding, but I would be lying to you. And you know how big of a Mass Effect nut I am.
Right. Doom was great. Wolfenstein's pretty cool. I'm still playing through Wolfenstein 2 right now, which is pretty fun. I didn't like the DLC Wolfenstein game as much. What was the Old Blood?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the first game was great. The Old Blood was disappointing, and the second one seems pretty fun. It's pretty ridiculous, but that's kind of what you expect these days.
It's just one of those dumb things.
Dishonored 2 was cool. Like I said, Doom, you know, I could play through that single player over and over again. I just like how quick and fast and entertaining it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's been a while since you've been to E3. Do you think you'd ever go back?
Man, I hear it's a disappointment. I'm sure they'll build it back up again someday, but, you know, it's not what it used to be. Like, I don't remember, I don't know if you knew this, but Perfect Liz and I actually went to E3 before Screw Attack even began.
So, really?
Yeah, we were both working at different game stores, and we were like, we can go to E3 for free because we work at a game store. So we flew out there and went to E3, and at that time, fans didn't really go. It was pretty much press only. and industry people only. So they would just give out the coolest stuff. I mean, they'd be like, oh, here's an Xbox, or here's a controller, or here's, I mean, it was crazy. And then there were no lines for anything at the time. I still have pictures of all this stuff. Actually, Misanthropic Wes went with us.
Now, there's a name I've not heard in at least 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, well, Wes designed the original couple of Screwtech websites for us. He's been a friend of mine for many years. But, yeah, we went to the E3 back in the day, and you just walk up to people who are now popular or famous, whatever. I mean, Ed Boon would be like, hey, we know you. And he's just trying to sell the game to people in the middle of the lobby for, like, for Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance or something like that. So it's definitely, it went crazy, and now it's kind of backed off, and it's not as fun.
Yeah, it's definitely not the E3 that I know and remember. So I guess as we start to kind of wind things down here, Tom, since you obviously still keep an ear to the gaming industry, what's a prediction you want to make for E3 this year?
Oh, man. Well, has anybody even announced that they're going to be there? Because I thought many companies already pulled out.
I think Bethesda said they are.
Really?
I guess as you'll see something Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, they did an announcement trailer just saying they're going to be there, which makes no sense to me.
they're good at promoting their stuff. I mean, once they bought id Software, I mean, they're based here in Dallas. At least id Software is, and that's half the Bethesda team or whatever. So that's why I still try to go to QuakeCon. I don't know if you heard of that.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, they still have that every year. It's pretty fun. And they usually show off the games there that they're going to show at E3, or even after E3, they show better builds at QuakeCon, which is kind of cool.
One of the things I'm hearing is that we'll see Smash playable on the Switch this year, supposedly with heavy third-party support.
Now, that being said, my opinion, we've been sort of arguing back and forth over, I believe it's just a port of the Wii U title because of how fast it's coming out.
I guarantee it. It's going to be a port, and then they're just going to have the added. I mean, it's the same thing as what are the other games that are out that Mario Kart 8?
Yeah.
That's
and
a port.
The Toad Treasure Tracker, the Donkey Kong, and all that. Because some people are saying, oh, it's going to be a brand new title, but that's too soon, and they're having a competition this summer. To me, it just feels like it's got to be just an enhanced remake of it.
Well, it seems like
I'm hoping.
Yeah, it'll be a remake. They're not going to go from the ground up. I mean, it's almost the same architecture, isn't it, from the Wii U to this?
Similar in that it's whatever works on there should work on this.
Right.
I guess we'll just have to kind of wait and see. Once again, Tom, I got to thank you for taking time out of your ridiculously busy day. And I guess, final question, will we ever see the Game Heroes rise again?
I'm not sure. You want to know where everybody's at? I could tell you.
All right. Where is everybody? Where is the epilogue scene to the Game Heroes?
Mickey is still here in Dallas, but his family moved away. He's been going through surgery lately, but he's all better now, which is great. So I don't know if we'll see him. He still is gaming. He got a Switch recently, and he's loving the crap out of it. Jared is working at a factory doing God knows what. Cameraman Joe is now single again and going to college. Jeff is engaged. I don't remember if you remember Jeff.
Was he the artist guy?
No, he's the big guy with the burly beard. He was only with us for like the first.
Oh, Jeff! Yes, I remember him.
He kind of interned at Screw Attack back in the day. Orlando, that's the guy who's the sketch master guy we did. He's still around. He's still going to college to be an artist. But I think that's about everybody, isn't it? Who am I missing?
What about Andy?
Andy's still in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's actually moving back this summer. He's going for his master's degree somewhere in South Carolina. So, you know, if the Game Heroes got resurrected, it would be me with a bunch of new people.
Well, hopefully, Tom, someday we will see that. I mean, obviously, we'd love to get you back here on This Week in Geek, whenever you have time to contribute or just want to rap and chat games. We definitely would love to get you on an E3 show for sure.
Yeah, yeah, no problem. When is it this year? Is it in August again?
No, it's usually the second week in June. You're thinking Gamescom is in August.
Oh, that's right. All right. Yeah, well, just let me know. I don't know what crazy announcements they are or not going to have. I remember Nintendo pulled out last year, didn't they?
They did a really big...
They'll pull out again this year. So it'll be EA, who cares, and then a few other small ones. It's just not what it used to be.
EA, Ubi,
Activision.
Activision, and then I guess Sony, Microsoft.
Yeah. So the big two, and then... the Nintendo Directs, which are usually fairly significant, so we'll have to wait and see.
They're kicking a ton of butt right now, and they're loving a second of it, so that's why they're going to try to pump out stuff. I just hope they don't force games out there that we don't want or need or are made poorly.
Absolutely. As long as the Switch doesn't become a shovelware station, I think it's got a fairly good chance of being the most successful console in history. It really will be.
We'll see.
But anyway, that is going to do it for us here on The Game. Wow.
There
about
we go.
Slipping back into old habits.
There we go.
That's going to do it for us here on This Week in Geek as we revisit a little bit of Game Heroes history with Handsome Tom Hanley. You've heard about all sorts of stories here on the show. Once again, we definitely want to hear from you. If you want Handsome Tom back, email us feedback@thisweekingeek.net. You can also use the voicemail line, which is still 817-717-7202. Definitely want to hear from you. If it takes a few rings, just let it go through. We will be able to pick up the voicemail later on. I guess without any further ado, we have been
Alex,
Handsome Tom.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodge, saying live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next time, right here on the on This Week in Geek.
We're keeping that in too.
All right, guys. Good night, everybody.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The internet can be your window to the world, or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.